Today's Daf HaShavua Shir in Yerushalmi is dedicated to the memory of Dora Bas Rivka Silver, Olea Shalom. It begins in the Oz V'Hadar edition on Daf Yud Ches Amid Beis, on the last line, with the second word, Rav Tavyumi. In the Vilna edition, it is on Daf Yud Beis Amid Beis. Begins the Gemara, Rav Tavyumi Shol Rav Chizkia. Rav Tavyumi asks a question to Rav Chizkia, Less Hado Amra, does this not tell us? She'ein l'cha tzorech kavana, as we turn to Daf Yutas Amid Aleph, El Apostle Karishin Bovad. What the Gemara here is referring to is what we learned on Daf Yutas Amid Beis in the last shir, that Bar Kapora said, Ein l'cha tzorech kavana, El l'shloisha psukim harishinim bovad. That you only need to have kavana in the parsha of Vahafta. You need to have kavana in Pirush Hamilos, the first three psukim, until Vishinantem. Ask Rav Tavyumi to Rav Chizkia. But the fact that we learned also in the last year that when did Rebbe say Kriya Shema? When was he Mekabel Ol Malch Shemayim? Because Rebbe used to start the shir before Zman Kriya Shema. And he gave the shir until after Zman Kriya Shema. And he never left the shir to say Kriya Shema. So when was he Mekabel Ol Malch Shemayim? So the Gemara had given an answer that when Rebbe covered his eyes during his shir, that is when he was Mekabel Ol Malch Shemayim. That's when he said the pasuk of Shema Yisrael. So Rav Tavyumi asked Rav Chizkia, Less Hado Amra, does this fact that Rebbe only said the pasuk of Shema, because it's necessary even for Rebbe, who had a ptur from saying the rest of Kriya Shema, because Torasoy Umnasoy, his Torah was his occupation day and night, and he was Melamed Lacherim, he taught others, so he had a dispensation not to say the entire Kriya Shema, but he had to say at least the first pasuk. So doesn't this tell us, She'ein l'cha tzorech kavana, ela pasuk harishon bovad, that you only have to have kavana for the first pasuk, you need to know Pirush Hamilos, what the words mean, when you're being Mekabel Ol Malch Shemayim, and that's why Rebbe had to do it as well, but you don't have to have three psukim, and we learned that the first three psukim until Vishinantem requires kavana. Amar lei, so Rav Chizkia answered Rav Tavyumi, Ado yisane ad Vishinantem. There are various pshatim in this Gemara. The Pnei Moshe learns that Ado means betoch kach, Kolomar, this is in the left-hand column on the fourth line, the fourth wide line. Kolomar betoich kach shuminich yorav alpanov yochel hu lishnoitz v'loimer ad vishinantem ulechavin bahem. That when he put his hand over his eyes to have kavana, it was not only to say the pasuk of Shema Yisrael, but in fact it was to say the first three psukim until Vishinantem. So Ado, in that time period, Yisana Vishinantem, he was able to recite the Pirush Hamilos until the Pasuk of Vishinantem, and he in fact did have Kavana for the first three Psukim. The Mara Fulda says Ado is Shem Chacham. And so we find similarly in the Rash Cirillo at the bottom of the Amud, but he has it Adoy Tani, Shem Chacham. Now, according to Marav Fulda, he doesn't say Ado Tani, which in fact, if you look in the Gra in Ois Aleph, he is Goyris Ado Tani. But the Marav Fulda doesn't bring the word Tani. It seems that he has, like we have in the Gemara, Ado Yisane, Ad Vishinatim. So according to Marav Fulda, the Pshat is Ado, who's a Shem Chacham, the name of a Chacham, whose name was Ado. He tells us that the Yisana Ad Vishinantem, that the Rebbe used to recite the Kriya Shema, the first three psukim, while he covered his eyes. According to the Gra, it's Ado Tani, that Ado learned in a Braisa, or according to Rash Cirillo, it's Adoy Tani, that this Chacham, whose name was Adoy, he learned in a Braisa instead of the word Yisana, that it has to be Ad Vishinantem, and what it means is that Rebbe, in fact, did that. And if we look in the Charedim, he says another pshat based on a different girsa. Hachi Garcinin, second line of the Charedim in the right-hand column, Omrele Abba Tani Advishinantem. So says the Charedim, Zehu Reb Chiski, Benoisha Reb Chia, Shasidu Reb Reises. Who was the Amora who was Masader, who codified all the Brises? It was Reb Chia. So Reb Chiski is said to answer the question of Tavyumi, Abba, my father, I who am the son of Reb Chia, I'm telling you that my father, who is Masader, all the Brises, he's the one who learned the Brisa that we had on Yud Ches Amud Beis, that you have to have Kavana until Vishinantem. And L'chayru, what it means is that we have to say also that Rebbe was in fact having that Kavana when he covered his eyes. So various pshatim in this line of Gemara. Continues the Gemara, Rav Mani, or according to the Vilna Gaon. In Ois Aleph, it's Rav Mana, and others say it's Rav Muna. Amar Mishum Rav Yehuda, which would be the same as Rav Yehuda. Shamar Mishum Rav Yosef Glili, he said in the name of Rav Yosef Glili. We have been discussing a person being mafsik Bein HaProkim, or in the middle of the parishes of Kriyishma, for Kovid, for Yira, or anyone. Now we're speaking about a person who makes a hefsik and either is quiet during this hafsaka, or he's talking things that he's not allowed to talk during Kriya Shema. Does he have to repeat Kriya Shema, or he goes back to the place where he interrupted, where he was mafsik? So Rabbi Yossi Anglili said a rule, im hifsik bo, if he interrupted to such an extent, kede likris es kula, that he would be able in that time frame of interruption to recite the entire Kriya Shema, then lo yotze, he's not yotze, and he has to chayzer l'roish, says the Charedim. He has to go back to the beginning of the entire Kriya Shema and repeat it. Why? Because lo yotze yedei chayvosoi, he did not fulfill his obligation. The Gemara continues, Rav Bo, in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah, b'shem Rav, in the name of Rav, halacha, k'rav, mina, or as we had, Rav Muna, sh'amar mishum Rabbi Yehuda, here instead of calling him Yuda, it's Yehuda, sh'amar mishum Rabbi Yosi Aglili, the halacha is like that din, that if he's mafsik, kedei likris bo'es kula, he's lo yotze yedei chivasai. There is no chilik in this halacha where the hefsik is, whether it's at the beginning of Shema, at the very end of Shema, whether it's bein haprakim, between the parshas, it's in the middle of a parsha, it makes no difference. There is a Gemara in Megillah of Yud Ches Amud Beis with a different girsa in the words of Rav, that the halacha is not like Rav Muna. Now, according to Rav Muna, you have to go back to the beginning if you're mafsik kedei likris kula, also by Shemayin Esrei, not only by Kriya Shema, but also by Shemayin Esrei. And this is brought down in the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Kuf Dalet, Sif Tesvav. And so the Magen Avraham in Siman Kuf Pei Gimel Sif Yud Aleph tells us the same halacha by benching. If someone in the middle of benching is mafsik and the time frame of interruption is so great that he could have recited the entire benching in that hafsaka, then he has to go back to the beginning of benching. If it's not such a large hafsaka, either with being quiet or by talking, which he shouldn't be talking, so then he doesn't have to go back to the beginning of benching. He goes back to the place where he began his hefsek, his interruption. Tosfos in the Bavli in Brachos, Daf Chav Beis Amud Beis, Divrei Maschil Ella, says an interesting thing, that although the Bavli paskins that ain alachik Rav Muna, that even if your hefsek was kedei ligmor es kula, you don't have to go back to the beginning. You go back to the place where you began the hefsek. But when is that? That's only if a person on his own volition decided to take a break. However, if he was not allowed to say Kriya Shema or Shmoyin Esrei or benching, why? because he had to make a hefsek, because he was tzorch l'nekavav, he had to go to the Beis HaKisei, and therefore he was not allowed to say Kriya Shema or Shemoneh Esrei. So then, if he has such a hefsek, ad kedei sheyigmer kula, until he could finish the whole Kriya Shema during that hefsek, that the Bavli would agree to the Yerushalmi that he has to go back to the beginning of either benching or Shemoneh Esrei or Kriya Shema. The Yerushalmi holds that it makes no difference whether he decides on his own or he's not allowed to alpi halacha, he has to go back to the beginning. But the Taisa says that the Bavli is mechalik whether it's something he decided on his own or a halacha which did not allow him to continue. That is more stringent, and the Bavli's moida, the hefsek causes him that he has to go back to the beginning. Continues the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, Meshem Rabbi Shimon ben Yoitzadok. Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yoitzadok, Av pahalal u'kriyas ha-megillah kein. The same halacha applies to the saying of halal or kriyas ha-megillah. If there was a hefsek any place during halal or during the reading of the Megillah, and in that hefsek one was able to have read the entire halal or the entire Megillah, it's considered a hefsek, you're not yotze, and you have to go back to the beginning. Abba bar Rav Huna v'Rav Chizda, these two Amoroim have a Yasvin, they were sitting, Amrin, they said, Av b'tekiyas kein. The same halachas on Rosh Hashanah concerning the tekiyas, explains the Charedim, min ha-Torah, 9 tekiyas are required, 3 times repeating tekiyah, trua, tekiyah. So if during those 9 tekiyas min ha-Torah, there was a hefsek in which the person blowing the shofar could have blown the entire 9 tekiyas in that time frame, then the person's not yotze any of the tekiyas, and he has to go back and be yotze from the beginning of the tekiyas. Salkun lebeis rav. So the Gemara tells us that these two Amoroim went to the Beis Medrash after they had said that Af B'Tekiyas Kein, they went to the Beis HaMedrash, V'Shamanan, and they heard Rav Chuna B'Shem Rav, and we're not goyres here, Rav Huna, at the end of this phrase, just Rav. Rav Chuna said in the name of Rav, Afil Shaman Ad Teisha Shois Yotza. Even if he heard 1 Tekiyah, or a Trua, or another Tekiyah, each one in a separate hour, he heard them over a time span of 9 hours. He's still Yaitzah. And the Charedim tells us that Be'emes, this is a Bavli in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, Shoma Teisha Tekiyos, B'Teisha Shoyos Bayoyim, Yotzah. If somebody heard 9 Tekiyos during 9 hours of the day, he's Yotzah. And then the Charedim continues and says, U'pasku kol ha-poiskim b'shoifer. All the poskim said that this is correct. We do not hold by shofar that if there was a hefsek, kidei sheyigmor kulon, that you have to start back from the beginning of the tekiyas. The hishvu kriyishma v'halal megillah l'shofar. And the poskim said that the same halacha that we find by shofar applies to kriyishma halal megillah. V'kasha tuva. The Charedim says, I have a very strong kasha on this. Sheharei zeh ha-Yerushalmi mechalik. We see here in the Yerushalmi that there's a distinction. De b'shofar yatsa. Einach nami shofar. If you had an interruption, ad kedei sheyigmor kulon, you are yotze. But if a kriyishma v'halal megillah lo yotze. The Yerushalmi is saying that by these 3 mitzvahs, you would not be yotze if you had a hefsek kedei sheyigmor kulon. So why didn't the poskim paskin like this Yerushalmi that's mechalik between shofar and the other mitzvahs? Why do the poskim lump all the mitzvahs together against the Yerushalmi and say that by all mitzvahs, there is no hefsek that causes you to go back to the beginning? And the Charedim remains with a question. Continues the Gemara, Rav Zira. Rav Zira said that he made Aliyah from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. So he said, Adon Atamon, when I was there in Bavel, Tzrichasli, as the Mefarshim explain, I had a suffolk in this question, whether someone was mafsik during the tekiyas. Kadei Shigim Rekulon, whether he has to repeat them or not. But Vekad Salkis Lahacha, but after I came here to Eretz Yisrael, Shamet, I heard Rabbi Yossi, Meshem Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yossi said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Afil Shaman Kol Ayoyim Yotza. Even if he heard it more than 9 hours in the day, even the entire day he heard the ninth kiyas, he would be yotze with one provision, v'hushe shaman ala seder. It's only if he heard them in the correct seder, which the Rosh Cirillo says, l'me'ute truu shtei tkiyas. It has to be tkiya truu tkiya. If he hears it not in the correct seder, he hears it teruah and then two tkiyas, he would not be yotze. Continues the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef Boi, and we'll learn the Pashtus, as the Charedim of B'nai Moshe learn, that Rabbi Yosef had a question, as we find the word Boi. In the Bavli, it always means he had a question. Rabbi Yosef Boi, have Zet Tzorech Pshuto HaRishon, V'Zet Tzorech Pshuto Achroina. Two people hear a tekiah. One needed it as a first tekiah of his series. The other one had already heard other sounds of the shofar, and he needed this tekiah for a last tekiah. One needed it tekiah, true tekiah, he needed the first tekiah, and one needed by tekiah, true tekiah, the last tekiah, because the first tekiah and true, he had already been yotze elsewhere. So Rav Yossi had a question. Tekiah achas moitziah yidei shteyen. Can one tekiah that I hear from the person blowing the shofar, could that suffice for the one who needs the tekiah at the beginning? And can it at the same time suffice for the one who needs the tekiah at the end? And on this, the Pnei Moshe says, in Divrei HaMaskil, Havezeh Tzorech Pshuta Rishayna V'loi Ifshita, and the Charedim says also that Salka B'teiku, the Gemara remains with a question, Ulechumra D'Sveika D'Raisi, since it's a Shaila if he's Yotze, we're talking about the nine Kolos that are Midaraisa, not the ones that are Midarabonin. So since it's a Suffolk from the Torah, whether he was Yotze or not, the Tokeya would have to blow it for each of these people separately. They cannot be Yotze with one Tekiya, both of their requirements. However, there are other Meforshim who learn that the Yerushalmi, when it uses the word boy, there are times when boy means that the Inyan was analyzed and there's a statement made. And that's how some learn what Rabbi Yosef is saying here. Rabbi Yosef, boy, not a question that's unresolved, but rather he analyzed the situation and made a statement. If this one needs a Pshuta Rishayna and this one needs a Pshuta Achrayna, the halacha is a statement, tekiya achas moitziah yidei shteyan. With one tekiya, the tokeya can be motzi both of these individuals who really have different requirements. But now we have a series of questions, which again the Charedim says, v'loi ifshitu hani bayis, at the end of Divrei HaMaskil, hifsik shlisha, he makes that statement. All the questions we're going to ask now, we are remaining unresolved. What are the questions? Rav Avin Barchia Boy, and here Boy means he asked a Shaila, Kriyishmao Birchasau. When we said before, the way to Yerushalmi Paskin, that if someone made a hefsik, and in that hefsik he was able to complete the entire Kriyishma, then he doesn't go back to the place where he made the hefsik, but rather he goes back to the beginning of Kriyishma. What does it mean, Kadesha Yigmar Kuloi? What's the Kuloi? Does it mean Kriyishma Ubir Chaseo, that he could have said in that time span, he could have said the whole Kriyishma and the Brachas of Kriyishma? Or does it mean he, Veloy Bir Chaseo, Kriyishma and not the Brachas? Or does it mean a bigger Chiddush, Bir Chaseo Velohi, that even if he had enough time just to say the Brachas of Kriyishma and not even Kriyishma itself in that time of Hefsik, he would have to go back to the beginning? We have no resolution of this shaila. And now a second shaila. Hifsik shlisha. V'chaz of hifsik shlisha. What happens if he did not have one hefsik that at one time was large enough that in that hefsik he could have finished the entire Kriyishma, but rather he said some of Kriyishma and then he waited, he made a hefsik, and in that time frame he could have said a third of Kriyishma. Then he said more of Kriya Shema. He was mafsik again, and in that time frame, he could have said another third of Kriya Shema. And then later on, towards the end, he was mafsik again, and again he could have said a third. Are we mitzaref these three thirds and say, oh, altogether in Kriya Shema, you were mafsik enough that the entire Kriya Shema could have been said? Or do we say no? That's only if it comes at one time, but here it was divided up in three parts. The Gemara does not answer this question. And finally, Bekayra Misharin or Becholado Misharin. What happens if you have a person who recites the Kriya Shema very slowly? He's very medactic in each word, each letter, and he says it very slowly, much slower than the normal person would say it. So when we are contemplating, when he makes a hefsik, does the hefsik go according to his slow pace? And that would mean it would have to be a much bigger hefsik that would force him to start Kriya Shema over, because it takes him a long time to say Kriya Shema. Or do we say, even for the slow person, he has to go with what the average person's hefsik would be? If the average person in a shorter time could have said the entire Kriya Shema, then it's considered a hefsik, even for the person who davened slowly. Here the Gemara tells us a resolution. Amar Rav Misanya, Rav Misanya said, Mistavra Bekoirei. And this Shaila of the Gemara does have a resolution, as the Pnei Moshe says, Misharin Kolech Vechelefi Kriyosai. It's logical to say that each person is judged if, in his recitation of Kriya Shema, he made a hefsik, that in that hefsik, at his pace, he would have been able to finish the Kriya Shema. If there was such a hefsik, then according to Rishami, he has to begin Kriya Shema all over. It doesn't go with what most people, what their speed is, but rather it goes with the speed of the person who's saying Kriya Shema right now. Continues the Gemara, Rabbi Avua Shol, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Avua asked the question to Rabbi Yochanan, Begain da'ano, Kori Shema. Consider my situation where I am reading Shema, Va'avar b'mavois hamatunafois, and I was walking through filthy alleyways, umafsik, and being unable to continue saying Kriya Shema. In these filthy alleyways, I made a hefsik. I interrupted my saying of Kriya Shema. My question to you, Rabbi Yochanan, is, Nafik ano yedei chayvasi, am I yotze, even if I was mafsik, while I was walking through the mavois, hamatunafois? Amar lei, Rabbi Yochanan responded, Avua b'ni, Avua my son, im mafsik at kedei likreis es kula, lo yotzes yedei chayvascha, if you interrupted to such an extent that in that time frame you would have been able to recite the entire Kriya Shema, you are not yotzi your chov if you went back to the place where you began the interruption, but rather you have to go back to the beginning of Kriya Shema. It would seem from the Yerushalmi that the Yerushalmi takes Rabbi Yochanan's words at face value, that Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that during Kriya Shema, if someone is mafsik kedei ligmor es kula, he has to go back to the beginning of Kriya Shema. However, in the Bavli, in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, we find that really Rabbi Yochanan himself, his shita is that it doesn't matter how long the hefsik is, even if you could finish the entire Kriya Shema, you do not have to go back to the beginning. You just go back to the place where you began the hefsik. He was just telling Rabbi Avua, since you asked me this shaila, this would indicate that you are of the opinion that you do have to go back to the beginning if it's a long enough hefsik. You were just asking me, by walking through a filthy alleyway, would that be considered a long enough hefsik that would require a person to go back to the beginning? So to your question, I'm answering, l'shitascha, that it depends whether you could have completed the entire Kriya Shema in that duration or not. But Rabbi Yochanan himself, according to the Bavli in Rosh Hashanah, is of the opinion that it doesn't matter how long the hefsik is, a person does not have to go back to the beginning of Kriya Shema. The Gemara relates another story. Rabbi Lazar Solak Mi Bikra L'Rabbi Shimon Bar Abba. Rabbi Shimon Bar Abba was an old, weak person, and he was sick. So Rab Lozer was sulik. He went up on a visit to be mevaker chola, Rav Shimon Bar Abba, Amar Lei, and Rav Shimon Bar Abba said to Rab Lozer, "Kigoin da'ano toshish, consider my situation where I am weak, very weak. Va'ano korishma, and I'm reading krishma. Umisnam name, and I'm dozing off." Nafik ano yidei chayvasi? Am I yotzei my chiv? If I was mafsik because of my ill health, I dozed off, and when I awoke, do I have to go back to the beginning of Kriyishma? Or I'm yotzei if I went back to the place where I dozed off at? So Rab Lozer was sulik. He went up on a visit to be mevaker chola, Rav Shimon Bar Abba, and this was Rav Shimon Bar Abba's question to him. Omar Lei in Rav Lozer said to Rav Shimon Bar Abba, "Yes, you are Yotzei." And it would seem that he was saying, you're Yotzei even if you dozed off for a long period, and even if in that period you could have recited the entire Kriya Shema in that half seg, you're still Yotzei. So now Rav Yirmiya ba kumei Rav Zeira. Rav Yirmiya asked the question in front of Rav Zeira. Began de Rav Lozer yada de Rav Shimon bar ba medakti b'mitzvah so sagin hoy relay. What consideration did Rav Lozer have when he paskin de shaila for Rav Shimon bar Abba? Did he consider the fact that Rav Shimon bar Abba was a tremendous, very much medaktik in mitzvahs, very careful, scrupulous to do mitzvahs properly, and he was not looking for any dispensation, for any kula, for any heter, and yet Hayrele, he told him that this, even a healthy person, if he's mafsik, the amount of time that it takes to say the entire Kriya Shema, he's still yotze, he doesn't have to go back to the beginning of Kriya Shema. So knowing that Rav Shimon bar Abba was a medaktik, not looking for any kula, he's still paskin because that's what he felt is the halacha for everyone, even for a healthy person. Oy, or perhaps, begain, he considered the fact, dehutashish hayrelei, he paskined lekula because Rav Shimon bar Abba was old and very weak. And as the Turi Evin in Rosh Hashanah and the Mishnah Berurah tell us, that this whole inyan of going back to the beginning of Kriya Shema during a long hefsek when one could be goymer the entire Kriya Shema, that's only a din derabbanan. So Mela, perhaps the rabbanan were being makel for a sick old man. Mi'ikra din, you have to go back to the beginning of Kriya Shema. It was only a special dispensation for Rav Shimon bar Abba, who was old and sick. This is the question that Rav Yirmiya posed to Rav Ze'era. As we turn to Daf Yutes Amid Beis, Amar Lei, so he responded, Beferish pligin de Rav Lozer Amar Yotza, Rav Yochan Amar Lo Yotza. There is a beferish machlokis between Rav Lozer and Rav Yochanan. And this machlokis is not by a sick person, this is by a healthy person. Rav Lozer says, even if you're mafsik, the amount of time it takes to be gomer the entire Shema, you're still yotze if you go back to the place where you began to be mafsik. Whereas Rav Yochanan says, you're not yotze, you have to go back to the beginning of Kriya Shema. So this is an answer to the question that Rav Yirmiya posed from Zeira. He knew that Rav Shimon bar Abba is a medaktik b'mitzvahs and is not looking for a kula. And he still paskin to him that even if you would be a bori, a healthy person, you wouldn't have to go back to the beginning of Kriya Shema, because Rav Lozer Lishitasai disagrees with Rav Yochanan and holds that in that case you're yotze. You just go back to where you began to have sick. Now the Gemara says, Ma pligin, in what are they arguing, Rav Yochanan and Rav Lozer, b'Kriya Shema? Mipnei shehi asuya prakim prakim. Kriya Shema is made of three different sections. And the three parshas of Kriya Shema are not written one next to the other. They're written in different places in the Chumash. And therefore, since the Kriya Shema with the three parshas is divided in different chapters and not one long unit, we can understand that Rav Lozer holds that even if you were mafsik, you're still yotze. Avol b'halal b'kriyas ha-megillah, as the Haredim explains here, by halal megillah, where it's all one inyan, and every part of Hallel and every part of the Megillah is one long continuation, and it's not in different places in the Chumash. So then, off, which means af Rav Lazar Moide, then Rav Lazar will also be Moide, that if a person was mafsik, can they ligmar es kula, that chayzer l'roish, that he has to go back to the beginning of Kriyat Shema. The whole machlokes Rav Lazar and Rav Yochanan is only by Kriyat Shema, which is prakim prakim, where Rav Lazar holds you don't have to go back, and Rav Yochanan says you're not yotze, and you have to go back by Megillah and Hallel. Everyone's Moide that you have to go back to the beginning. Continues the Gemara to explain the next part of the Mishnah. We have learned in the Mishnah that Bein HaProkim, between the various paragraphs of the three parshas of Kriyat Shema, one can ask and answer Mipnei HaKavod, someone who he has to honor, Ube'emtza, and if it's in the middle of a perek, then Shoyel Mipnei Ayira, he is allowed to ask and certainly answer, not for kavod, but only for someone that he is obligated to have fear for. Tani, we have learned in a brisa, Hashoyel Bishloim Raboi, Oy B'mishehu Gadol Mimenu B'Toyra, if somebody is extending a greeting to his Rebbe, or to someone who's greater than him in learning in Torah, Harishus B'yadai, he is allowed to do this. Why would I think he's not allowed to do this? So the Charedim in Divrei HaMasla Rishus B'Yodai tells us in the left-hand column, approximately 10 lines down, V'yoyim Reloi Shalom Alecha Rebbe. He should say to his Rebbe, peace to you, my Rebbe, K'lekamon, as we're going to learn further in the Sugya, U'lafuke Mibnei Bovel. This excludes what the Bnei Bovel did, the Amr L'kamon, Da'akotn Loi Hoya Shalom B'Shloim HaGadol. Their custom was that a Talmud would not give shalom to the greater one. This was considered a degradation of the greater person, that a younger person would give him shalom. And says the Charedim, afagav de amru b'medrash, even though we find in the Yalkut Shemayim Bamidbar the following statement, klum yesh eved shenayis and shalom l'raboi, does an eved, a servant, a slave, give greetings to his Rebbe, to his master? So we see that a smaller person does not give to a greater person. How could Yerushalmi say here that he does have permission, not like the Bavli? Yesh l'chalik, says the Charedim, bein talmid le'eved, there's a difference between a student and a slave. Kach kosav agoyis maimin besoif hilchus talmid Torah. The agoyis maimini in the end of hilchus talmid Torah says that even though a slave is not to give greeting to his master, but a Talmud is not on the level of a slave who has to be totally subservient to his master, a Talmud does have permission to give a greeting, to say shalom to his Rebbe. Continues the Gemara, Hadda Amra, from here we can learn, Sha'adam Tsarech Lishol, the Mishu Gadol Mimena Batar, that a person is obligated to offer greetings to one who is greater than him in learning. As the Charedim explains, Divrei HaMashkal, Hadda Amra, the Kivan Dashmi'inen, the Rishoi, the Ein Zilzul B'Davar, Elakavit, since according to Yerushalmi, not like the way they were Noig in Bavel, that a Katan, even a Talmud, wouldn't give Shalom to his Rebbe, who is Gadol Mimenu. But in the Yerushalmi, they're saying that you do have Rishus. Once you tell me that there is permission, permission is granted, and there's no zilzul, there is no degradation for a younger to address the elder, then if in fact it is kavod, it is an honorable practice, then minei shamin and dechayiv l'chvayda taira. Once I know that there's no zilzul, and it is, in fact, an act of kavod, then one is obligated, says the Yerushalmi, to offer this kavod to the Torah and to those who learn the Torah. Says the Gemara, I'll bring you a proof that it's a chiyuv to honor a Rebbe in this manner by giving him kavod, a Talmud, to his Rebbe. Ve'oid min adah. Another proof is from the following halacha. The Tanya we have learned in a braisa. Kara, what happens if someone tor kriya on one of the relatives who passed away and for whom he's mechuyev to tear kriya, v'chazra b'neshama, and for a moment when he thought the person had died, the neshama flickered in the person and he came back to life for a brief second, and then he passed away. So im alasar, if, as the Pnei Moshe says, va'achakach meis im la'alter meis, if he died right away on the spot, a split second later, after the neshama had come back, ein oitzarch l'kriya, doesn't have to do kriya again. Kriya is always done after the deceased died. If someone tears kriya before the p'tira of the person, it is useless, it is meaningless. However, if the person tore kriya thinking that his relative had perished, and then for a flickering moment he came back to life, and then a second later he in fact perished, so the din is that the kriya that was done helps. It's considered that he did tear kriya after the person died. Im la'achar zman, tzarech l'kriya. However, if it's the person did not die right away a second later, but rather a few minutes later, an hour later, then of course the surviving relative has to tear kriya again. And how much is the time frame? What do we consider alasar la'alter right away? V'kamahu alasar? The Gemara answers, k'day dibur. That is the concept that's found throughout Shas of toch k'day dibur, as long as it takes to make a statement. We find this by a neder. If a person makes a neder and then he wants to retract, if he retracted and he said, I changed my mind immediately after he said the neder, toich k'day dibur, and we'll soon see how much is toich k'day dibur, then his neder is retracted. Or if he made a kinyan, and toich k'day dibur, he decided that he doesn't want to make the kinyan, and he says, I want out of this deal. So if he did it toich k'day dibur, it's considered that he stopped the process before the kinyan took effect. And so too by the kriya. If his kriya was toch k'day dibur to when the deceased actually perished, then it's considered that the kriya came after the person's patira. Because since it was so close to the patira, it's considered that he was mekayim the mitzvah of kriya on a mace. Now the Gemara wants to know v'kama hu k'day dibur, what actually is considered toch k'day dibur. Rab Simon b'shem Rabbi Shu ben Levi, he says k'day she'ila shalom b'nam l'chaveri, as long as it takes to say what one person says in greeting to another person, shalom aleichem, those two words. But Abba bar bar chana b'shem Rabbi Yochanan says no, k'day she'ila shalom b'nam rav l'talmid, it's what we find between a rav and a talmid. Namely, when a Talmud greets his Rebbe, the words that he utters at that time, that's the shir of toich k'day dibur. And what are those words? V'yomer loy, shalom alecha Rebbe. He says to his Rebbe, peace be unto you, my Rebbe. He gives him this greeting. So from here we also see that since toich k'day dibur is measured by the amount of time it takes a Talmud to say to his Rebbe these three words of Shalom Alecha Rebbe, so we see that it must be a inyan, that it's not a bezoyan to say it to your Rebbe, and if it's not a bezoyan, then in fact it's a kavod, and one should say it to his Rebbe, and that's why we measure the shir of toich k'day dibur for the amount of time it takes to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe. There are others who say, who add a fourth word, not just Shalom Alecha Rebbe, but Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umori. This is a Machlokas Haposkim.
Continues the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan Hava Mistamech al Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi. The Gemara tells us in Bav Metzia and in Brachas, in the Bavli, that Rabbi Yochanan was a large, heavy person. And when he was walking, the Yerushalmi is telling us here, Hava Mistamech al Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, he was leaning for support on Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi. V'hoye Rabbi Lozer Chamilei, and Rabbi Lozer, his Talmud, who had lived in Bavel and had come up to Eretz Yisrael to become a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, he saw Rabbi Yochanan coming, umitmar min kadmoy, and he hid from his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan. He didn't give him shalom, and not only that, but he hid. Omar said, Rabbi Yochanan, ha tarti mili hadein bavloya ovid bi, that this Babylonian, as the Haredim explains, Rabbi Lozer, who had come up from Bavel to become a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Yochanan referred to him as that Babylonian, tarte mili, there were two things, as the Haredim explained, shnei mine zilzel, he did to me two embarrassing things, two things that showed a lack of respect. According to the Pirish Yefei Mara, one of these actually had two parts to it. And there were actually, we could say, three things that were done as a bezoyan to Rabbi Yochanan by Rabbi Lozer. Rabbi Yochanan enumerates the two, and then we'll see that it actually could be considered three. Chada, number one, Deloy Shal B'Shloimi. He didn't offer me greetings. He didn't do what a Talmud's supposed to do to a Rebbe, to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe, or Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umayri. And in this one, explains the Yefei Mara, there were really two things that were done wrong. Number one, he didn't give Shalom. And number two, he didn't even pass in front of Rabbi Yochanan with respect, but rather, he ran away and hid from Rabbi Yochanan. And V'chado, and another one, said Rabbi Yochanan, Deloy Omar Shmuasa Mishmi. He didn't say his learning that he had learned from me. He didn't say it in my name. Omar Lei. So Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi said to Rabbi Yochanan, he tried to be melamed zchus on Rabbi Lozer. He tried to be mefayis Rabbi Yochanan, to placate him, and to show Rabbi Yochanan that there was nothing wrong meant with what Rabbi Lozer did. So first of all, he told him concerning the Indian that he didn't give shalom to you, Amar lei kach inunagin. He comes from Bavel. That's the minig in Bavel. Gabeon by them, that's their minig. That Zeira, the young one, lo shal b'shlamed rabba. They consider it disrespectful for a younger person, not only an eved, who shouldn't ask the shalom of his master, but even a Talmud should not greet an elder. In Bavel, it's a sign of disrespect, and that's why he didn't do it. The Inan Mekaimen, they fulfill their hanhoga of kavod, is not to give shalom, but rather, as Iyuv said, after he was experiencing tsaros, and he was reminiscing on the days when he was not having tsaros, he said at that time, Reuni Na'arim, if the young ones would see me, v'nechbo, they would hide from me. Out of the great covet and respect that they had for me, they would hide. So the B'nai Bavel were acting in that same manner. So do not consider what Rabbi Lozer did as a sign of disrespect, that he didn't give you shalom. Mi mahalchin, it's as if it would say, ki mahalchin, as they were walking along, chamilei chad beis hamedrash. So Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi showed Rabbi Yochanan a certain beis hamedrash. Amar lei, and he said to Rabbi Yochanan, hachav Rabbi Meir Yosef, here Rabbi Meir was sitting, dorash, and he used to darshan v'amar shmutza min shmeid Rabbi Shmuel. He used to say over halachas in the name of his Rabbi, Rabbi Shmuel. But v'lo yomar shmutza min shmeid Rabbi Kiva. But when it came to what Rabbi Kiva had taught him, he didn't say it over in the name of Rabbi Kiva. He just said it plain, nameless, without attributing it to Rabbi Kiva. And isn't that a terrible thing, said Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi to Rabbi Yochanan, that he didn't say it b'shem Omri in the name of his Rabbi, Rabbi Kiva? Amar lei, so Rabbi Yochanan responded, that doesn't really bother me. Why? Because kol alma yadin de Rabbi Meir, talmid de Rabbi Kiva. Everyone knows, as the Haredim points out, the Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Muvik shall Rabbi Meir, v'chol ma sh'oimer Rabbi Meir, b'stam divri Rabbi Heim. Everyone knows that Rabbi Kiva was the Rebbe Muvik of Rabbi Meir, and everything that Rabbi Meir says is coming from Rabbi Akiva. The exception is when he says something from Rabbi Shmuel. Then he has to tell the Olam who's listening that this I heard from Rabbi Shmuel. But everything else, everyone knows that every word that comes out of Rabbi Meir's mouth is coming from his Rabbi Muvik, Rabbi Akiva. Amar Loi, when Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi heard this response from Rabbi Yochanan, so he told Rabbi Yochanan that if so, then you don't have to feel any hurt from the fact that Rabbi Lazar used to also say over halachas and didn't attribute it to you. Because kuli al miyadin, the Rabbi Lazar talmidei de Rabbi Yochanan. Everyone knows that Rabbi Lazar is the Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is Rabbi Lazar's Talmud Muvik. So just like you understand why Rabbi Meir didn't say it over in the name of Rabbi Akiva, the same thing your Talmud Rabbi Lazar. Everyone knows that whatever he says is from his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore he doesn't say the name of Rabbi Yochanan, but everybody knows it's coming from Rabbi Yochanan. Therefore, you, Rabbi Yochanan, shouldn't have any kepeda that he doesn't say it over in your name. But now, as the Yefei Amari explains, we still have one more item to solve, and that is, why did he not pass in front of Rabbi Yochanan in a respectful manner? Why did Rabbi Lazar hide from Rabbi Yochanan? So on this, Rav Yaakov Bar Idi turns to Rabbi Yochanan and asks him a shaila. Mahu mever kumei ahaduri tzalme. Is a person allowed to walk in front of an Avodah Zarah without bowing down to the Avodah Zarah, without sacrificing to the Avodah Zarah, but just walking in front of the Avodah Zarah? Amar lei. So Rabbi Yochanan responded, Ma ispalig leikar. How would one show honor just by walking in front? You're not serving it. You're not bowing down to it just by walking in front of it. There's no isser, there's no prohibition by doing that because you're not showing any honor to the Avodah Zarah. And just the opposite, said Rabbi Yochanan, El Avor Kumoi, go in front of the Avodah Zarah, Vesame Einai, and rub out the eyes of the Avodah Zarah, which means that if you will, as the Haredim explains, you walk right in front of the Avodah Zarah in an upright position, and you don't even pay attention that there is an Avodah Zarah there. That is the biggest bizoyan of the Avodah Zarah. Amar lei. So then, when Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi heard this response to his shaila concerning Avodah Zarah from Rabbi Yochanan, so he said to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar yos avid. So now we understand very well that Rabbi Lazar did a good thing, deloy aver komech, that he didn't pass in front of you in a respectful manner. Because since the minig of Rabbi Lazar, who coming from Bavel, was not to give shalom to you, so he felt that if he's not going to give shalom to you, and he's going to pass in front of you, and it would be as if you don't exist, because otherwise he should have gone over to give you shalom. So just like by the Avodah Zarah, you paskin for me that I should go in front of an Avodah Zarah and not reckon with the Avodah Zarah, and that would be a bizoyan. When it comes to your kavod, Rabbi Lazar felt it would be disrespectful not to give you shalom and pass in front of you and not give shalom. That would be the biggest sign of disrespect. And therefore, loyd his minig in Bavel not to give shalom, he had to hide from you so that he should not be disrespectful by going in front of you and not giving shalom. Amar lei, so when Rabbi Yochanan heard Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi's responses to all the three issues that were bothering him concerning the anhaga of his Talmud Rabbi Lazar, so Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, Yaakov Bar Idi, Yodea at lefayes. Yaakov Bar Idi, you know how to placate someone. You know, as the Haredim says, Shegilgalta kol advor me'ela l'shachech kasi me'al Rabbi Lazar. You brought up all these ideas in order to cool down my anger against Rabbi Lazar for all the signs of disrespect that I thought he was doing to me, and you were able to convince me that in fact he was having tremendous kavod for me. He was not being mezalzel in my kavod, and you were successful. You did very well. Yofa ato yodei lefayis, as the Charedim says, you know very well how to placate someone. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan pointed out what a terrific job Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi had done in this situation.